Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
going to do our open song or anything? No. Here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 25th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us each Wednesday night with real people, real stories, real changes, as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest, Janaea Black. She's an author, a producer, a director, and she's involved in many other things, and we'll let her tell her story tonight. But first, let me welcome my co-host Boyd to the show.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in every week, and we thank everybody for always spreading the message with us as well. Streets Don't Love You Back, and we're glad to have our guest on tonight. So without further ado, we would like our guest to formally introduce herself, and we can get the show on the road.
Oh, hello, everybody. My name is Janaea Black, and I'm a writer. I do movies, books, and plays, and I'm currently looking forward to the release of my first play, The Breaking Point, which is going to debut in September on the 25th and 26th in Detroit. I also have three books in publication under the Prison Chronicle series, which is a series about different women who are in the same prison, and they're being given opportunity to tell their side of the story. And I have a couple movie projects out, and I'm very excited to be on the show today.
Thank you very much, young lady. First of all, you know, I wanted to ask you, what made you start wanting to be a writer, and what made you write your first novel?
Writing has always just been my purest form of self-expression. Honestly, it's just really a gift that I've been blessed with. I can write better than I can hold a conversation, so that's just the way that my thoughts flow easiestly. With respect to my first book, it kind of came from just some pent-up frustrations, and I just happened to have some extra time on my hands, and started writing, and before I knew it, I had like 10 chapters done, and from that, it grew into a book, and after I finished, it was kind of like, well, where do I go now? And I started doing some research on some things, and before I knew it, I had started my own publishing company, and here I am, three books and five movie projects later, kind of still pushing away.
Dick, sounds great. And what part of the Detroit was you raised and born in?
I was born on the west side, and I grew up mostly like in the metro Detroit area, and nothing really amazing about it. Just pretty had a pretty good childhood and upbringing and everything, and you know, I just a person with a very creative mind, and I really like being able to entertain people with my thoughts, so that's kind of, you know, my life story in a nutshell. I've always kind of been a creative person, so I'm really excited about the fact that I'm able to do it as a career now.
Right, that's great. And the reason I asked you what part of town you was raised on, you know, I'm originally from Detroit as well, and I was born in the Black Bottoms, and, you know, I was raised on the east side of Detroit, you know. Van Dyke and Harper, on the kind of projects all through them areas, you know?
Okay, yeah, I'm from the west side area. McNichols and Foyer.
Okay, dig that. Yeah, I used to hang out over there around Finkel and Wyoming over there. I don't know if they still got the McDonald's right there off the freeway almost, but I used to be in that area. Apollon, Puritan, and Miles all up through there.
Okay, yeah, I think they do still have that McDonald's over there.
Okay, great. But without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic to my wife and let her ask you some questions. But once again, I want to say congratulations on all your projects, and congratulations on the message you sent out, a positive message for people to learn, you know. And like we always say, each one teach one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Janaea. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit more about your book, The Breaking Point, and that's what you're making a film, is that correct?
I've done a film, and right now I'm doing a play based on my first book. My books kind of were born from the fact that I've always been very disturbed by the things that I was seeing on the news, you know, just the way that, you know, the news always hypes everything up around negativity. And I would find myself wondering why people did the things that they did. So The Prison Chronicles was kind of born out of that why question. It was my way of addressing the types of things and circumstances that might drive somebody to commit murder or do some of the things that you see and read about in the media. And I just felt like people are always so quick to judge based off of what they see, and we don't ever know what these people have gone through or what the circumstances were that drove them to do the things that they did. I'm not saying that you're trying to justify it in any way, but sometimes if you understand a person's upbringing, you might be able to identify a little better with why they did what they did. Like if somebody, you know, is stealing or shoplifting, you know, you might understand a little better if you know that that person has 5 kids starving at home. You know, I'm not saying that what they did was right, but you can understand it a little better. So I just kind of wrote the books to inspire compassionate people and make people not so quick to judge others based on what media does to sell papers or get ratings and things of that nature. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And The Breaking Point is about a young woman who is in prison for murdering her husband. And the book just kind of takes you through her life to allow you to experience the things that she went through, because she's actually a very strong woman. And her husband was her childhood sweetheart. They grew up together, and he wasn't abusive to her in any way. He was actually, you know, her rock, her backbone. And just by exhibiting in the book the different things that she goes through, and she's able to pull through each situation based on her faith in God, her beliefs and stuff, only to be faced with, you know, one thing after another. One day she just snaps, and he happens to be the person that she lashes out at. So it's kind of a really intense story, but it gives you a bird's eye view into the life of somebody that's just had a really, really tough life.
Right. And were you able to actually go and interview anybody that had gone through something and then be able to share part of their story?
You know what, all the books are fiction. They're based on just ideas that I've come up with, you know, but since coming out with my first book, I have met a lot of people that have been out in the prison system for different things. I've had a chance to talk to them and get their stories on things and just their thoughts and feelings about different things. And I've toyed with the idea of doing some nonfiction stories, but the fiction stories were a little heavy for me, so I'm not sure if I'm ready to venture into the nonfiction sector of the type of books that I write. Because actually after my third book, Beautiful Rays, The Break of Dawn, I had to step away from that because it was so dark. And so I'm still not sure if I want to go back to the series, and I don't think that I'm ready to tackle true life stories, because these would be people that I would have to actually sit down and get to know intimately and just really deal with their situation. And it was hard enough for me dealing with the fictional situations.
Right. And, you know, we talk to a lot of people, too, you know, with what we do, people that have, you know, been into gangs and drug dealing and gang banging and all that. And you know, we kind of find, too, that, you know, going back to the beginning and finding out what made them go to all that, you know, and a lot of times it's, you know, they're selling drugs at first, you know, to put food on the table and to feed the family and, you know, to be able to buy clothes for their kids or for their parents or, you know, vice versa. And, you know, and a lot of times people are just, you know, doing it to make ends meet. And you know, and those are real stories that we hear from people all the time.
Right.
So it is pretty touching. And you know, and the same with gangs. A lot of young kids turn to gangs because they're not getting their needs met at home or they're not getting paid attention to by their parents. And so they turn to other people who they think are, you know, family and going to be, you know, there for them and have their back. And in reality, you know, it's not that way, but that's what they're thinking, because that's kind of what the guys or the girls on the streets make you feel, you know, come with us and we got your back. But, you know, a lot of them learn the hard way.
Yeah,
but it's so
right.
True to go back to the beginning and find out, you know, what your childhood was like or what you went through to make you do the things that you do, you know?
Yes, because there's usually, if you do go back, you usually find that the common factor is that there is a disconnect somewhere, you know, and you just never know if you're willing to sit down and talk to someone, especially a young person, you know, how you might be able to help get them back on the right track or keep them from, you know, stumbling on some of those pitfalls that might land them, you know, in prison or even worse, you know.
Right. You know, we went out today to Phoenix, Arizona, and Rob spoke at Apollo High School to five different classes. And, you know, we just want to give a shout-out to all those high school kids who are, you know, still in school and still, you know, trying to make a difference because, you know, some of them are struggling. Some of them don't have all the support that they need, but they're still in school. And we just give them, you know, all, you know, a shout-out and let you know that you do have a lot of support. And, you know, just go out and find it. And like we said, you know, earlier to them, find somebody that you can talk to when you do have a problem. Find somebody that can mentor you. When you feel that you have nobody, there are people there. And, you know, we had a great time today talking to the kids, and you know, we spoke up close to a few of them, and, you know, we know that our being there and being able to share Rob's life with them, you know, made a difference to some of them, and even one person said that it changed her life because it's going to stop her from making the wrong decision that she almost made, you know, coming up this week. It was really heavy on her mind and it was like a blessing for us to come and be able to speak because now that she knew what she had to do. So, you know, it's pretty awesome to go out and to be able to talk to the youth and educate the youth and to let them know that we're here for them and you know, that there are people there that can help them.
You're so right, and that's great that you guys are doing that because they need that. They really do. And because the young people now, they're dealing with so much more than what we had to deal with when we were in school. It just seems like it gets harder and harder with every generation. And we actually do a program here. I have an academic incentive program where I work with high school, middle school students to help keep them motivated to be on the honor roll. We use music. We take different artists and we do like a school tour and we go into the schools and we talk to the kids about the importance of education. And for those students that maintain honor roll status, we reward them with a free concert at the end of the school year. And this is the second year that we've done it. And it just, you know, we anticipated getting bigger every year. And it's just really a great thing to see those kids come in and have such a great time and talk about, you know, how, you know, the artists touched them when they came in and made them really want to do better. Like, we've gotten emails, you know, that some of the artists have received saying, you know, I was getting a D in science, but after you came, I started working really hard, and now I'm getting a B+ because I really want to come hang out with you guys at the end of the school year. So it was kind of really fun to see that, you know, we can do something to motivate them because it's easy to sit back and say, you know, what the teachers should be doing or what the city government should be doing, but it's like you kind of, sometimes you have to get up and do something on your own, you know, and be the change that you want to see. And like my husband, he has, you know, a youth organization where he's mentoring young men with basketball, you know, helping them get scholarships and things like that. So it's just, you know, about stepping out of your comfort zone and taking some time to do something and get back to someone else.
Right, and a lot of times all the kids need is just a little word of encouragement and to make them realize, you know, well, wait a minute, maybe I can do it. You know, he just said I can do it. He just said he's proud of me. Maybe I am worth something. Maybe I can do it.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. A lot of them don't get that at home, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right, and just want to say, when you started doing your mentor program, you said about a year ago, correct?
Actually, we completed our second year this year, so we're going into our third season.
Okay. What made you jump into that program when you seen the kids not doing right?
I started that program because I have a teenage son, and I see how affected he is by music. And I've been working in music for a while, and I'm just always really disappointed at the direction that it's going in with a lot of the messages that are in a lot of music that, you know, comes out now. So I decided to take some of what I was doing with some of the artists that I work with and kind of integrate it in a positive way. And fortunately, it worked out really well because these kids, the way that they respond to music is amazing. I mean, you can't even say the ABCs without singing it, you know. So it's just kind of like, you know, taking something that they already love and using it as an incentive as opposed to always talking about the negativity in it.
Right, right, amen, you know. And I just wanted to say also that I would love to get involved with your programs up there in the city. And, you know, whenever you get time, my book is available over at Harlem World Books and Videos over at the Greenfield Plaza.
Oh, yeah, Ice. I'm definitely go over there and check it out.
Yeah. My music soundtrack is also over there as well. To the book, it's also entitled The Streets Don't Love You Back, and it's a mixture of different music, reggae, R&B, and hip-hop, and it's just a lot of different messages on the soundtrack with the book, you know what I mean? And like I tell everybody, at the end of the day, no matter what your testimony is, you know, or what you've been through, it all boils down to that one word, the streets don't love you back, you know?
Yeah, and that's a huge message because I'm always telling the kids that the world doesn't owe you anything. You have to get out there and really work for the things you want in life.
Right.
A lot of these kids have a you owe me something mentality, and they need to understand that that's not it at all.
No, you have to be a person that want to get involved with yourself, and others will help you along the way. You know, you can't just wait for somebody to pass you the torch and then all of a sudden you're running strong. You have to
right.
let somebody see that you is want to ride with the torch. You already have to have that burning desire inside you. And the ones who don't have that burning desire inside them, they need a little bit more mentoring than others do, you know? So that's
right.
why, you know, me and my missus, we make that message loud and we make that message known to these children out here. Because some don't have a mom and dad. Mom and dad might be on drugs or mom might be working 2-3 jobs and dad ain't in the household. So it's always a different testimony, and drugs a lot of times don't always have anything to do with it, you know. It's just a bad upbringing and bad structure in the household, you know.
Yeah, and that's beautiful that you guys are doing that together. That's a great message for the kids as well, to see a husband and wife working together the way you guys are.
Oh, we appreciate that. I couldn't do it without the queen, you know what I mean? Because she makes I stay on my job, you know.
That's
yeah.
what it is, teamwork. There
right.
you go.
Amen, sister, you know. And without teamwork, you know, it's no work, you know. And I explain to people all the time, you know, I wasn't just looking for no woman just to say I got no woman and no wife, you know what I mean? You have to be an individual that's riding on the same train, that's going for the same goal, and there's reason for the same, you know, thing in life as far as to each one teach one and help others, you know what I mean? Because you got a lot of grown folks out here still hanging on the corner with their pants hanging down, thinking they cool and ain't teaching the youth nothing, you know what I mean? And I'm looking at you like, man, you down to 56 years old and you still out here and ain't made no money yet. You really need to go have a seat, you know what I mean? Because you're a bad influence on what's really going on around your neighborhood, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So tell us once again, when is that play coming out? September the what?
The play is coming out September 25th and 26th at the Charles H. Wright Museum in downtown Detroit. There's more information on my website at www.black-smithenterprises.com. And,
right. And tell them where they can get the book at.
The books are all also on my website, all three in the Prison Chronicle series, The Breaking Point, As Told by the Other Woman, and Beautiful Rage, The Break of Dawn. It's also available at Truth Bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and any other major bookstore. You just need the book title and my name if they don't actually have it on the shelf, and they can get it in for you.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope you guys can come check out the play in September. And I'm definitely going to get over to Harlem World and check out your book.
Hey, no doubt. You say you're going down to the Child Chase Wright Center in September, right?
Yes. Yep, September 25th and 26th.
Right. Well, you know, I was on it at the Child H. Wright Center May 3rd of this year, you know. My book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, is in their collection, and it's in the rare book section. So, you know, that made me feel real good to be honored by my hometown, you know what I mean, at the World my message.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I come from the era, you know what I mean, the YBR boys, and I was the boss of the 430 crew at the Warner kind of projects. You know, Demetrius Holloway and Maserati. I come from that area. That's what my life was consist of back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. So the message is real, real, you know, down to earth, and it's real cold-hearted, you know what I mean, coming up at that time. But now the message is what it is. Like I said, no matter what the testimony is, at the end of the day, the streets don't love you back.
Well said. Very well said.
I'm blessed to be here. You know, it ain't by no coincidence. You know, it's by the grace of God that I'm here to spread that message, and God gave me that title. It didn't jump out the sky, you know?
Right. And if you was around Maserati Rick and all that, I know that was some stuff. We just got done watching a documentary on him not too long ago.
Right, right. Well, it's another documentary that's coming out, you know what I mean, real soon, the White Boy Rick. Yeah, I mean, the Rat documentary. I'll be on that documentary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who's making it? Who's doing that one?
Flip Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah. And we want you to hold on for a few minutes, and we're going to take a commercial break and a music break, and we're going to be right back with the young lady with the great, great book title coming up in 1 second. We'll be right back.
All right.
Well, we haven't taken it difficult with the music and the commercial tonight, but we're going to keep rolling with the young lady that's speaking the real and that's speaking about her novels and everything. So we would like to ask you, you know, what positive thoughts and what positive message would you like to give the youth across America?
The message I always want to get to youth is that if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Anything that you want to do in life, don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do something. Because if you're willing to work hard to achieve the things that you set out to do, the sky's the limit. And I always like to stress that to any young person that I talk to, because I'm living proof of that.
Right.
I believe that everybody has obstacles in their life. And what separates the strong from the weak is how they deal with those obstacles. Either you overcome them or you let them, you know, keep you down. So I just want to encourage them to be strong and to keep pushing on, because, you know, if you're at the bottom, there's nowhere for you to go but up. So don't ever give up on your dreams.
Amen, sister. You know, and once again, you said you had a son. How old is he?
My son is 14.
Okay, and the message that you give the young man is that same message you just gave people across America, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
I said the same message that you just gave the young youth across America, that's the same message that you give your young man, you know, at the same time, correct?
Most definitely. My son, he's a very bright young man, and he knows, you know, what his dad and I expect from him at all times, and things, you know, he wants to do, I encourage him. As long as he's being positive and staying on track with his schoolwork and stuff like that, he knows that, you know, we're going to support him in whatever he wants to do.
Amen. You know, and that's a great thing, because a lot of times they don't have the mom and dad together, you know, to spread that message, you know, so that's a great thing that our mom and dad together, you know.
Yeah.
And we see that you have the rapper Jason.
Oh, J-Staff.
Yeah,
Jeff the Rapper.
Can you give us a little information on that?
Oh, yeah, Jay Sasson is a rapper that I used to manage. It's actually my brother. He was out in a couple of years ago, and we actually shot a music video for him. It's called I'm Hot. You can also see that on my website,
www.black-smithenterprises.com.
He's from here, but he's out in Pittsburgh doing his music now, so I'm hoping all the best for him. He's still pursuing his dream as well.
Great, great. And do you still have a real copy of that video?
Yes.
Well, you know, me and my wife also, we have two TV shows in Ohio. And our shows play our music videos and interview different artists across the country, you know. Yeah, I was in the music business since the 80s. So whenever you get a chance, I would like for you to send us a copy of the video. And we'll spin it on our TV show.
Oh, okay, no problem. I'll get that to you ASAP.
Right, I'll inbox you PO box information down here in AZ, and we'll definitely do that. And Mike can set up an interview with the young man, and we can get him on the radio show and get him on both TV shows. So I like to support anything that my people out of Michigan doing, you know what I mean? Because no matter where I stay and live, you know, it's Detroit for life, you know?
Oh, we appreciate that. That's real love.
Any other music videos you have, any other artists you done work with?
I work with a lot of different artists. I work with a hip-hop duo called Rock Steady. It's a girl group. They sing and one sings and one raps. They're really, really hot. And another artist named Vina Mills. We have another rapper goes by the name of Dollar Jones here, and we just got a lot of talent here. Those are three that I'm working with right now. They were actually on my school tour this year. We also got Jig. He's a phenomenal performer. He just got back off tour with Missy Elliott. He's also a singer, and his stage show is bananas. So I got a lot. You want music? I got a lot of stuff I can share with you.
Okay, well that's what's happening, Dan. Because like I said, we like to support, you know, our people that's trying to do something positive and get their joints out there. So one of the shows, the Keep It Real show, has been on for 13 years, and me and my wife just started the Change Reality show. And we done had many guests on there since we started that this January. You know, our first guest was my old-time homeboy, the real Fruit, Ricky Ross. That was our first guest. You know, we had flew out to South Central to his home and interviewed him, and we had a great time, you know, when he came home, you know.
Okay. You said the real Ricky Ross, right?
Oh, ain't no doubt. We ain't talking about the rapper. Talking about the real Rick Ross, and also we would like for you to join our movement page, you know what I mean, at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubackneem.com, and you'll see a lot of information there, and you'll see clippings of all the people who we've done interviewed, from Rick to people, you know, Jada Kiss, Magic Johnson, Genuine, 112. I mean, the list goes on, you know. A lot of the people I'm telling you about is in my book, you know.
Okay.
I've been dealing with music since the 80s, you know, but like I said, I didn't really get very serious until, you know, the 90s when I got very serious into doing the music thing. And, you know, I done worked with a lot of people through the years.
Well, I'm definitely going to check you out on your name page. Please be sure to inbox me that as well so I can join that.
Yeah, cool. And we also see that you work with some other people for my sisters.
I'm sorry, who?
I say we also see that you work with another organization that you partner with for looking for my sister.
Yeah, I partner with them around the time where my first book came out. They are an organization that they help battered and abused women. And being that my first book dealt with that subject matter in depth, I thought that they would be a great partner. So, you know, we could use some of the funds from the events that we were doing to help their cause as well. And it's really a great organization. They're doing a lot to help women who are in those types of situations, like by providing them shelter and helping them find jobs and just, you know, get their lives back on track after escaping those types of situations.
That sounds great. And also I want to comment on that for a minute. You know, I also have my next book coming out entitled Never Hit a Woman. So I would definitely like for you to inbox me some information about this organization, because through my book, I'll be donating some of the proceeds to battered women's shelters and different things. So definitely would like for you to send me some contact information to who I need to speak to team up with that organization. And it's from my hometown, so that's a good thing.
Most definitely. That's no problem at all. I'll get that to you right away.
Amen. And I'm going to send the mic back over to my missus and let her, you know, finish asking you some questions. But it's been great, great having you on the show. And God is always good at sending people when it needs to be sent, you know?
And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, ain't no doubt. Well, you know, we're going to do a lot of great things together. God don't make no mistakes. We make them.
That's right. You're right.
So tell us what your part in the Trinity Film Coalition is.
I'm one of the managing partners of the Trinity Film Coalition, and we're an organization. We came together. It's a combination of three different companies, and we're all filmmakers, and we came together so that we could help start building the independent film community here in Detroit. As you know, now there's a lot of big movies coming here because we rolled out some pretty big tax incentives. But prior to that, we were just, you know, trying to find people like us that like to make movies. And so as a result of that, that's how the organization came to be. And we do a film festival every year. This is our fourth year. And September 10th and 11th, we'll be holding our annual film festival and showcasing independent films by independent filmmakers.
Are you the one that's hosting the film that's in the Flames?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I said, are you the ones that are hosting the new film 10 to 20 when that comes to Detroit, or maybe it's another one? I'm not sure.
No, we're not hosting the 10 to 20 film. That's not one of the ones we're featuring at our festival.
So what would people do if they wanted to hook up with you on that and be able to maybe help their film?
The film festival, the Trinity Film Coalition is www.trinityfilmcoalition.com. And on there is all of our contact information. We also have a Yahoo group, Trinity Film Coalition Yahoo group, where we send out all types of casting calls, food calls, any film information that we get, we share it through there so people can, you know, find resources they need or just, you know, be kept abreast of different movies that are coming here or jobs that they can get in the film industry. So we're kind of all about connecting the dots and helping filmmakers get the resources that they need to be successful from Detroit instead of always feeling like they have to go to New York or L.A. just to do any kind of work in the film industry.
That's awesome, because you know, Detroit can secure music. There's so many talented people there that need help getting their information out.
Okay, well, we really appreciate that. And our film festival is free. We don't charge people like a lot of festivals do. You have to buy, you know, movie tickets to go see the films. We really just want people to come in and get familiar with the work of these independent filmmakers that are, we don't just service Detroit. Any independent filmmaker is welcome to submit films to our festival, and we show them to the public for free so that we can help them get the exposure they need to get to the next level.
Well, we might have to send a few people your way then.
Yeah. We would love to have you.
that you're also an advocate for literacy. And we know that, you know, there's a lot of, there's still a lot of young kids that, don't know how to read very well. And, you know, what would you need to tell those kids that, you know, are embarrassed or afraid of telling the little kids?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my reception a little better. My cell phone is, hold on, hold on. I apologize for that. Could you repeat that question one more time?
I said, I see that you're an advocate for literacy, and I was just wondering what you could tell the youth out here, you know, especially those that, don't know how to read or and are afraid to tell anybody that they don't know how to read. What advice
would you give them? Don't be intimidated. Don't let the fact that, you know, your skills may not be where you want them to be, because only you can change that. Practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the easier it gets. So don't be embarrassed, and don't let that stop you from pursuing your goal of becoming a better reader, because reading is so, I mean, not to sound cliche, but reading is fundamental to everything that you're going to do in life. And once you master that, then there's really nothing else that should, you know, hinder your growth in any area that you want to be in. Because if you can read, that helps your vocabulary, that helps your comprehension. It just expands everything, you know, that's associated with your brain power. So reading is very, very crucial to just your quality of life. So, I mean, if that's something you struggle with, don't let that stop you from getting the help that you need to improve your reading skills, because it's very, very important to your to the quality of your life. Because if you can't read, there's so much that you can't do.
Well, and it's so true too, because, you know, if you can't read, there's people that are going to take advantage of you when you're trying to sign contracts for, you know, music or videos or movies or anything. You know, you need to be able to understand that the things that you're getting into,
exactly,
instead of relying on other people that sometimes are not going to tell you the truth.
Exactly. So that's probably the single most important skill that you need to possess with respect to your livelihood. So, and you know, sometimes it's hard for adults to overcome the stigma, you know, not wanting to be embarrassed or, you know, whatever the case may be. But there are definitely people out there that are willing to help you overcome that. And it's not as hard as you may think that it is. It's just about, you know, you taking the time to ask for help.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you're stupid or, you know, anything like
not
that.
Not at all.
You haven't been taught the right skills in order to put those things together.
Exactly. And it's just even looking at how they teach stuff now, I don't know why they've gotten away from using phonics with kids and teaching that way and stuff. It's just the way that they teach a lot of this stuff right now is kind of foreign to me, but I just think that some of the curriculum needs to go back to the basics so that people can grasp some of these concepts a little better. Because even like in the middle schools here, they don't really teach the basics of English anymore. It's like once you get out of elementary school and maybe some of middle school, but then they don't really, you know, touch too much on the basics of word structures like verbs and how to use them and prepositional phrases and things like that. It's like after you get out of, what, sixth or seventh grade, they don't even revisit that really anymore. And that stuff is important.
Right.
Because a lot of these kids, especially like with the texting and the Facebook and stuff like that, the whole concept of how to write properly is almost seems to be going out of the window.
Right.
I get, you know,
go ahead.
I have to stay on my kids about shortening stuff. You know, it's like, okay, that's fine when you're texting, but when you're writing in real life, you need to spell out you. You know, it's not just the letter U,
right,
or your and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, right, you know, it's a battle.
Proper English.
Yes, proper English. It's not broken text English. You got to know how to speak proper English and write it.
Right. I know sometimes I look at the messages that the kids send, and I'm like, what do those initials stand for?
It's scary, isn't it? Because then you wonder, it's like, okay, can they spell that word out for real, or should I be worried? Like, should I be concerned right now?
Right.
But, yeah.
And as technology has advanced so far, you would think that the kids would all know how to read. And, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't even have, you know, computers at home. And now, you know, everybody has one. And multiple people in the household have them. You know, so you would just think that there wouldn't be a problem with people learning how to read and knowing how to get that knowledge and that background behind them.
Yeah, and it's the exact opposite. It's like all this technology is dumbing things down for people, I guess, for lack of a better word. I've had teachers tell me that their kids turn in their papers in text lingo.
Oh, goodness.
Like, really?
I can imagine. As you know, seeing some of the stuff on Facebook and different things and the way that they do write, and it's like backwards letters and you know, things, it's like, what is that?
Yeah.
But I can't imagine kids actually handing in papers, you know, using that, like, street talk on, you know, street type or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they do it. And it's like, you know, my son gets mad at me because I correct him all the time. It's like, no, you can't speak that broken English when you talk to adults. If you talk to your friends like that, that's one thing. But when you talk to adults, you speak proper English. And every
right.
time I hear you doing otherwise, I'm going to check you about it because, you know, you need to know how to talk when it's time to go get a job. You know?
Amen.
So.
Right.
Yeah, because you can't be in that talking hood to the man who's trying to get you a spot on the team to punch
exactly.
the clock. You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
he's looking like, where did that woman come from, you know?
Exactly. So he gets irritated with me all the time, but it's just like, I don't care. You're going to do it right. You need to know how to turn it on and off. You know, I know that you're going to talk how you talk when you're with your friends, but you need to know when not to talk like that.
Right. And we all be taught that. So that's a great thing, once again, that you and, you know, your husband is taking straight initiative to be that role model in his life and to show him what's really real, because I tell people all the time, if you don't teach your kids the street, sure will teach them, and teach them all the wrong things.
Yeah, that is so true.
You know, and I definitely would like to, like I said, get involved with all what you got going on up in the city, and, you know, I would like to start coming back to the city and speaking to the youth and anything that you have going on, just let us know in prior advance. And I would like to just come on up and start being a part of something good in the city, you know. And I love what you're doing. And me and the missus would like for you to join our book club as well. You know, you can send your books in. And what we're doing is discussing people's book once a month that we might read and have everybody on the discussion. So, you know, you'll see all that information as well on our Ning site.
Okay, well, wonderful. I'm really looking forward to networking and building that relationship with you guys, and I really appreciate the opportunity that you've laid out for me today.
Oh, ain't no doubt. And once again, let everybody know where to get the books at, and one more time, where to come enjoy that great play at.
Okay, well, the books are available at www.black-smithenterprises.com. And you can look forward to the Breaking Point play September 25th and 26th at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History in downtown Detroit. And I'm really hoping that you guys will come check it out. The cast is phenomenal. These people have taken the pages of my book and just brought them to life in a way that I don't think you've seen the way that this play has been put together. It's not your typical, you know, black play or anything like that. It's something different. And I think that everybody's going to walk away with a clear message that you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, everybody goes through something, and it's not for us to judge them. And it's just a very intense story told in a beautiful way, and some talented people. We have so many talented people in this play, and I'm just really excited to be able to have them working on my project. And my director, Kamal Smith, is phenomenal. So I'm very excited about this project. I just hope people will come out and support it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And we want everybody to come out and support it. You know, you got any shout-outs you would like to give anybody?
Yes, I have to shout out my husband, Rocky Black. He's also helping me produce this play. And I have to shout out the whole cast of the Breaking Point play and my director, Kamal Smith, the leading actress, Cherry Sparks, and Dez Cortez, and everybody else that's in it. And got to shout out my son, Dre Black. He's also in the play. And I want to shout out Detroit, everybody in Detroit who supported all the books and who will be supporting the play. I'm just very blessed, and I don't have anything bad to say. I know a lot of people say, you know, a lot of bad things about Detroit, but I love Detroit. Detroit has shown me nothing but love the whole time I've been out here hustling and trying to get the word out. People have been nothing but supportive and encouraging. So I'm just, you know, I'm happy. I'm in a great place, and I just hope that I can continue doing what I love to do.
Amen, sister. You know, and we down with you too now. You know what I mean? And we are going to support it and push it any kind of way we can, from our radio, you know, shows to our TV shows and to the blogs as well. So we'll definitely be swapping that great information to keep pushing you as well. And we wishing you, your husband, and your son much success, and everybody who's involved with you and surrounded with you. Because like I told the kids today, you are what you eat, you know. So whoever you choose to surround yourself with, that is your rise or your fall, you know. So we must be always careful on who we let up in our clique and who we let up in our life, because that is the key to anybody's success or their fall.
That is absolutely right. And I thank you guys again, you beautiful couple, for having me on. I think it is wonderful that you guys are building this together. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Hey, thank you very much. And I'm going to pass it back over to the missus, and you keep up doing the good work, you and your husband and the family.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, Janae, I just wanted to thank you again for coming on our show. And, you know, you seem to be such a busy woman as well, and it's nice to see that you and your husband are working together with the plays and the different things involving your family. And you know, that's what it takes to succeed, is, you know, having somebody to work with and work together with, and that common goal that you're working towards. And, you know, we just want to let everybody know out there that, you know, set your goals and work for them, and find a partner that you can trust and work with and advance to success with.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
We look forward to working with you in the future, and we look forward to seeing you on our website. And we just want to wish you a great week, and thank you for coming on our show. And I would like to remind everybody to join us every Wednesday night, 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific Time. And just like to wish everybody a great week, and we will see you next week.
All right, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in, but the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD, talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
But know these streets, they don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Track here, it's a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step down May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say fuck the fence. Life is just I gotta go and get a bit. Got he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures. Are we all alone when we born? We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all the truth is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm a bust. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. And lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
now
on.
Now this all be checking back in with you, like I said, it's that traffic knowledge, that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.